sleeping, I'll be awakened from the grave.
And if I remain,
I'll hear the trumpet's joyful sound. I didn't see him go up, but I'll see him when he comes down. What I'll be like him. I shall see him as he is, and that's good enough for me. I'll be like him when he comes down. Sleeping, I'll be awakened from the grave.
And if I remain,
I'll hear the trumpet's joyful sound. I didn't see him go up, but I'll see him when he comes down.
And if
thank you, Brother and Ms. Laster and Brother Green, as a blessing. And, boy, thank God, that's still our blessed hope, isn't it? All right. The coming of Jesus Christ is still our blessed hope. I don't know about you. I've been here long enough. I'm ready for him to come back, aren't you? Been ready. If he doesn't come back soon, I don't know what our nation's going to become. We've sat around and sucked our thumbs so long, there's more of them than there is of us. Something's got to happen, and the only thing I can see happening that's going to get us out of this mess is Jesus coming. Even Bible-believing Christians have voted our pocketbook so long. We've ignored principle. We voted for what the politician promised instead of principle. We're in such a mess now that it's going to take his coming to get us out of. This morning on the news, they're trying to evict a couple from an apartment complex where they live because they're flying American flags on their car. Little window flags and an American flag in front of their apartment. And saying our nation is a diverse nation and we don't want to embarrass anyone or make them feel uncomfortable. The problem with that is that we're not little Russia, little Germany, little Africa, little Mexico, little Philippines. We're America. Well, something's wrong when we can't fly our flag in our land. Somebody took a flag off my flagpole at my home last year and burned it in my front yard. This is America. And we better wake up and make a difference while we can, or we're going to have to learn another language. Learn how to wrap a towel around our head. Not me. give me liberty or give me death. I'd rather be dead than red. I'd rather be dead than Muslim. I don't even, I'm not even packing up to move to Mexico. I'm glad to be an American. My family shed their blood for our country. And dear God, I never dreamed I'd live to see the day where it was a crime in America to fly an American flag. And we've pussyfooted around in our churches, compromised in our churches, afraid to say anything political because somebody would get upset and leave and they give 25 cents in the offering. Hey, if they don't love America, they're probably not supporting your church anyway. They're supporting Obama and his cronies. I wake up and I hear the news, and is this America? I thought we had presidents and cabinet members, not czars. I'm glad to be an American. We need some old leather-lunged, Bible-believing Baptist preachers that'll stand up and exalt our Lord, exalt His Word, and exalt the blessings of our good land. America's done more to help the rest of the world in its 200-plus year history than any other nation on this earth. We supported liberty. They curse us, call us all kinds of names, but when a tsunami hits, an earthquake hits, they look to America for help. I'm not ashamed to be an American. And we better take that privilege seriously. One of these days we're not going to have the privilege. I'm glad to be an independent, Bible-believing, fundamental Baptist preacher. And we're treating that as carelessly as we are being Americans today. I'm not ashamed to love this book and believe it from cover to cover. I believe it is the very Word of God. I believe it's the mind of God, the heart of God. If I want to know the will of God, I won't know it watching TV and getting it from Hollywood. I'll get it from this book. I love this book. It is the verbally inspired, inerrant, preserved Word of God for me in the English language. I'm glad I can stand before our young preachers and say, God has commanded us to preach the Word. He's given us the Word and preserved His living Word for us to preach. We can stand with as much authority as the apostles. And the fact is, we have a more sure word of prophecy than they did. They heard the voice from heaven on the mount, but they didn't have the complete Word of God. We do. Love it. Preach it. Don't be ashamed of it. And I'm glad we've got one of those kind of preachers here today. God has never looked for men of God that were polished, professional, or pleasing. He has looked for men of God that allow Him to speak to their heart, and then without being ashamed, stand up. Without apologizing, stand up and preach the unchangeable Word of God that's able to change our lives. Brother Darrell Cox is that kind of preacher. I love Brother Cox. I love his spirit, his humility. I love it as he stands up and says, I want to know what God wants me to give to you. I want to feel the Holy Spirit's leadership. And then he stands up and preaches it in simple, plain old North Carolina terms. What a blessing. Brother Darrell, you're a blessing to this preacher. Thank you for gracing this pulpit with your presence. Come and preach to us, sir.
Thank you, Pastor. Amen. Good to be here. Boy, what a blessing to be here this morning and get to preach, be in this meeting. I tell you the truth, I have received more help than I've given. And that's always the case in these meetings. Man, I've got so many good, every one of them, there's been something in it for me. Every message has been something in there for me that God spoke to my heart. And, I'd get worried if there wasn't something in there for me. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Any time the Bible's preached and read and somebody gives something out of it, it always makes me want to be a better Christian. And I want to thank Brother Smith for asking me to come. I'll be honest with you. I really appreciate it and to get to come. You know, I thank God that He counted me faithful and put me in the ministry. If you knew, I look at some of you men that was raised in church, raised by, preachers and raised by godly people and stuff. And I didn't come up. I never seen a Bible till I was 15 and never had any kind of, training much. But I got saved and the Lord called me. But that was what He had for me. That's the way it was. That's the way it is. And I do the best I can do, give it the best I got. But I appreciate it. I'm just glad to be here. I'll be honest with you. I really am. I'm just glad to be here. And I want to thank Brother Smith. Brother Smith, thank you for having me. Thank you for the love offering and the nice room over there. So nice and clean. And boy, the fruit basket and the meals. Man, it's been great. The music. I've enjoyed it. And hearing all these other preachers and the fellowship. I appreciate all of it. It's been good. Look in your Bibles in the book of 1 Thessalonians. Now, Mike Ray's not here, so I'm just going to take all the time I want now. He's in California, so I'm just kidding. But, boy, that was good preaching by him, wasn't it? That Bowman, boy, I'll tell you what, that encouraged me. I've been encouraged. Man, I'm telling you the truth. All these messages has all helped me. I'm telling you the truth. I've really been helped, and I appreciate it so very much. And this is a good meeting. And I appreciate all you other preachers that helped Brother Smith in helping him with this meeting and being here and bringing these schools in the mornings and all of it. I appreciate all of it. It's just all good. And God's good, isn't He? Isn't God's good, isn't He, all the time? The Lord's a wonderful Lord. And far better to me than what I deserve. Now, after a while, I'll have to slip out. I got to go back to North Carolina. And I've been gone, Brother Fugate, a few Wednesday nights. I don't like to do that, but I have. Probably more than I really needed to. I need to get back tonight. We're trying to have a big day Sunday and try to get as many people saved as we can. And every Sunday's a big day to me. But we're trying to have, trying to push, get the attendance up, get as many saved as we possibly can and charge them up, and knock on doors and try to reach as many thousands and get as many people saved as we can get. And that's what we better be doing. And the Lord's coming. And I like what the preacher said about America. Bless God, I love America. I love it. I was out soul winning. I'll tell you this little story now I preach. I was out soul winning one day, running to a fellow, I don't know where he's from. It was 4th of July. And I was out working a bus route, man, North Carolina. Let's see, it was hot that day, Brother Fugate. Listen, I was out knocking on doors, and this man come to the door. And I said, sir, I'm from Trinity Baptist and working a bus route out here, and we're trying to get people to ride the bus tomorrow. And we're going to have hot dogs on the buses. And we're giving away little American flags and then a lapel pin, American flag lapel pin. And he said to me, I don't like America. Listen, it wouldn't have been no worse for you to took hot water and poured it down my collar. I said, well, I'll tell you what you do, bless God. You come in the morning and I'll help take an offering up to get you back wherever you come from. I said, I'll take up an offering, bless God, get you on an airplane. You don't like it here, buddy, I can sure show you the way out of here. Amen. But I like it. I must be honest with you. I thank God for God calling missionaries. I appreciate the missionaries going. God called you to a foreign field, you go. And I support you and pray for you. And if God calls me, I'll go. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's not anywhere I desire to go. I desire to support missions and pray for them. But there's not anywhere in my heart that I want to go. Buddy, I love this old nation. And I do. And I tell you what, this is a mission field right here. Boy, this is a mission field we ever had one. Well, look in your Bibles. Let me get to preaching here. Get out of the way. Brother Fugate will come. And then Brother Gilman, you're in to hear some good men. I'll get out of the way. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 14. 1 Thessalonians 2:14. Would you stand with me? And verse 14 says, "For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sin always, for the wrath has come upon them to the utmost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again," look at this statement, "but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, or our joy, or crown of rejoicing, or not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." Let's pray. Our Father, I want to be a blessing this morning. And dear Lord, I sure do thank you, Lord, for finding me one day and saving me and calling me to preach the gospel. And Lord, I want to be a blessing. I want to be used. God, help me today to remember what I ought to say, and help me to not remember what you don't want me to say. Let me forget it and omit anything, Lord, you're not pleased with. I pray, Jesus, I'd be in complete control of thy spirit. Oh, God, help me. In Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. I want to talk to you on this thought, that phrase out of verse 18. And Paul said to the church of Thessalonica, "I would have come to you once and again," but he said, "but Satan hindered us." The devil, he said, hindered us. And then over in the book of Galatians, over there, I believe it's in the 5th chapter of Galatians, he said, "You did run well," different church. He said, "but who did hinder you?" He didn't say what hindered you, it was always who. Amen. He said, "the devil hindered you." You see, he got that church at Galatia trying to get them to mix that Judaism in with grace. And boy, it was confusing people and drawing some out. And now this church at Thessalonica, he said, "we would have come to you once and again, but Satan hindered us." Now, you know, the devil has not let up one ounce. You see, old brother, old Billy Sunday said, he said, "I know there's a devil because I've done business with him." See, and old, somebody said, Brother Roloff said, "Brother Roloff, you believe there's a devil?" He said, "yeah, some people say there's not." But he said, "there's bound to be a devil, because if there's not, I'd like to know who's behind all the devil men." Amen? You see, the truth of it is this right here. There is a devil, and he's doing everything he can. He'd like to destroy every church. He'd like to shut down Trinity Baptist here in Arlington. He'd like to shut down my work, all you men's churches, all of you evangelists. He'd like to pull you off the road and silence you. He'd like to stop all these Christian schools, every bus ministry, every missions program. Listen, he wants to shut the whole thing down, and he does it by hindering us. I got to thinking about what is some things that Satan uses. Paul said, "I'd love to have seen you. I'd love to come to the church, but Satan hindered us." I want to give you some things that Satan uses to hinder us. Number one, Satan hinders us by discouraging the servants. Discouragement's one of the biggest things he uses on people. It seems like I talk to a lot of people and I try to encourage people, but a lot of people get discouraged. And by the way, it ain't just baby Christians that get discouraged. It's some good people, some mature saints. It's people that love God and people that's been saved for a long time that get discouraged. You know, Elijah, after Elijah got there in the 17th chapter, and God told Elijah, said, "Go hide yourself down by the brook of Cherith." And he said, "I'll teach you how to live by faith." And old Elijah got down there by that brook and learned how to trust God and walk with God. And God took those ravens and fed him, and then down to the widow's house and all he had done. After that, he said, "Now go show thyself." And old Elijah went up on Carmel and met old Ahab, and they had a duel. And he said, "How long halt you between two opinions? If God be God, serve him. And they had a duel up there. And you know the story how Elijah, after the Baal's prophets tried to pray down fire from Baal, and they cut themselves, and they hollered and screamed and prayed, and he taunted them and made fun of them. And then after that, he come out and repaired the altar, put everything in order, got on his knees and looked up in the heavens and said, I'm calling the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and if I be a man of God, let the fire fall. And brother, the fire came down and consumed the altar there. And then old Elijah grabbed his sword and took that bunch to the woodshed. Bless God, and there's bloodshed. Amen. I mean, he cut all their heads off. You think preachers now is rough? Hey, listen, you look at some of them old prophets. Man, old Samuel, when old Agag, Saul come dragging him back in, hey, after he got done with Saul, he took him down there and cut him up pieces, did he not? And boy, I mean to tell you, and Elijah, it just looks like to me, here that he had this thing won. And then all of a sudden, Jezebel sends a note to him by a messenger and says, by this time tomorrow, you'll be like my prophets. You'll be dead. And I don't understand this, but Elijah hit the highway running. And he run till he gave out of gas, and he sat down under a tree and said, it's enough, let me die. Let me die, God, I've had it. I'm through. Now we're talking about Elijah. Hey, we're talking about a man of God. Do you know what? God loved him, and God dispatched an angel from heaven to bake him a cake and set a canteen of water there, and God knew he was discouraged. And God encouraged. But you know what it was? He got discouraged. Jeremiah said, I'll never preach again. He said, I'm done with it. But he said, but his word was in my bones like a fire. And he said, I was weary with forbearing, and I couldn't stay. And old Jeremiah had to get back in it. And he said, I wished I knowed a place of wayfaring men. I'd go away in the wilderness and get away from everybody. David said in Psalm 55, he said, I wished I had wings like a bird. He said, I'd fly away and just get away from the whole mess. You know what was wrong? Discouragement, friends. And you know what? The devil is a master discourager. He works on your mind. Hey, I mean, you get out and go soul winning all week and knock on doors, and your workers seem like they're working on Sunday. Brother Jeff, you come in, and it seems like, boy, there's so many gone. It seems dead. I mean, you've done everything you know to do. You've prayed and worked. And you know what? The devil then lands up here and says, you know what? Listen, they need somebody else in here. They need another pastor here. If they had somebody else. And then all the way, all day long, he's on you by Sunday night. Man, you ain't worth 2 cents. I mean, you're down so low, and you're discouraged. You see, he knows you can't be at your best when you're discouraged. But I love what David did. The Bible said in 1 Samuel 30, when they burned Ziklag, them Amalekites had burned Ziklag, and old David come home, and the smoke boiling up off of the city, and those men seen their wives gone, and all their belongings strewed everywhere, and their children gone, and the Bible said they fell down and wept till they had no more power to weep. And then the Bible said, old David, listen, there wasn't one man, Brother Smith, that come up to David and put their arm around David and said, King, we know how you feel. We love you and we're still for you. Hey, that whole crowd turned and they spake of stoning him. And old David went in that tent and had a prayer meeting. He said, Lord, I need to know, shall we pursue or stay here? And the Lord said, pursue. And he said, you'll surely recover everything. And you know what they did? The Bible said David encouraged himself. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes they just ain't going to be nobody to encourage you. You're going to have to do it. You're going to have to cheerlead for yourself. But the best encourager in the world is to get this old book down and read and let God speak to you, you see. And let God minister to your soul. And God will give you a verse, or God will give you something out of a verse that will just lift you up, friend. But I'm saying what we need to do is not let Satan discourage us. Hey man, you are somebody. You're a child of God. And you're going somewhere and you're in the greatest work in the world. And Brother Gomez yesterday talking about preachers. Listen, some of them had taken their own life. You know, that's not the will of God. Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And I'm simply saying today, my friends, listen, Satan will do everything he can to discourage you, you see. And he uses, sometimes he'll use good people to discourage. He'll use things. He'll use what people say, or he'll use things. But old Dr. Robertson, old Lee Robertson, every time I heard him preach, and we was privileged to have him there at Trinity, 21 years in a row he preached for me. What a great, great man. Old Dr. Robertson was a great man. And you know what? Every time he preached, I hardly ever heard him preach. An old doctor said, die to self. You need to be dead to self. Dead to self. And one day he told me, he said, you die to criticism and die to compliments. I remember a preacher friend of mine, there was a couple of colleges giving him an honorary doctor's degree, young preacher. He's doing a good job in his church. And they called him up one day and told him he was going to give him a doctor's degree. He called Dr. Robertson. And he said, Doc, he said, these colleges won't give me honorary doctor's degrees. He said, what do you think? You think I'll take? And Doc said, yeah. He said, go ahead and take them. Put them in the drawer. Forget you got them. He said, you'll be okay. He said, just put them in a drawer, forget you that they ever gave them to you. And you'll be all right. He said, just don't let it go to your head. Just keep on doing what you're supposed to be doing. Die to self. Amen. You know what it is, though? We ought to encourage ourselves. You see. So Satan hinders us by discouraging the servants. Let me give you something else. Satan hinders us by dividing the saints. Hey, you know what churches, boy, the devil like to get in the middle of this church right here, tear it all to pieces. And you know what? Listen, the Bible said in Psalm 133:1, behold how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. Hey, you know why they got that wall built there in the book of Nehemiah? That whole bunch of they pulled together. Boy, they ain't listen. The Bible talks about every man went to the work. You know what? Wouldn't it be a great thing in our churches if people in the church, I'm talking about the church now, if people in the church, if everybody said, I'm going to do everything I can to be a blessing to this church. And I'm going to work, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to tithe and give. And buddy, when my preacher preaches, or he has in somebody, I'm going to get behind them, and I'm going to do everything I can, and listen, and pull together. You see what I'm trying to say? And brother, in churches, listen, some people get, they'll get little crossways about something. Listen, forget all that stuff. It ain't with the hell beans. I see people jerk up their kids sometimes and get mad over some little old crazy something that happened at the church. I had a man been in my church 20-some years just recently. Got mad because he wasn't asked. We started a little old security thing there around the church. And this man got mad because he wasn't asked to be on it. And the only reason he wasn't, he was Brother Fugate had a bus route and had bringing in nursing home people. And I thought, well, he's got too much on his plate already. And that's why we didn't ask him. I tried to explain that, and he's so mad, and he said, I'm leaving and won't come back. And listen, five little old kids and leave and go somewhere else, and it broke my heart. You know what? I hurt for him because he left. You see, what? One of these days, he'll be sorry. And brother, if you ain't careful, you put that kind of junk in your kids, hey, you ought to always push your children towards your man of God. You ought to always push your children towards the man of God and try to get them to the man of God and esteem the preacher and lift him up and then lift up the Sunday school teachers and lift up the Christian school teachers. Oh, let me tell you something. I remember my boy one time was a member, or he wasn't a member, but he was before we ever started a Christian school, this was back when he was probably in a sixth grade or seventh grade or something, about seventh grade, I think, and we didn't have a Christian school. And he went to a good Christian school about 13 miles from us. And one day, one of the teachers, one of my members, was a teacher there. And she called me on the phone and said, Steve, preacher, this morning I had to straighten him out about something, and he was a little disrespectful. I said, you hang on about 20 minutes, and I'll be there. Take about 20 minutes to get there. Buddy, I went down there, listen, you think I went against that teacher, not on your life? Hey, I went there, listen, and I straightened him out. When I got done with him, buddy, a fly wouldn't land on him. Hey, I got in his face, Brother Smith. You say, why? I was trying to teach him. Boy, listen, this is your authority right here. That's what's wrong now. Bless God, a bunch of kids out here now shooting at police officers and all that kind of stuff. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Some of this stuff, some of this bunch that gets their head busted open with billy sticks and stuff, they deserve it. Hey, listen, I've never seen a police officer yank nobody out of a car and start pounding him when you pull over, and he says, can you see your driver's license and registration? You hand them to him, and if he says, you know your speed, and you say, yes, sir. Then I'm going to tell you, he's got the walkie-talkie, the pistol, and the stick. So the best thing to do is just say, yes, sir. No, sir. Hey, and I don't want to go to jail. Amen? And what I'm trying to say is, though, but you, if you ain't careful, you teach your kids by not respecting the pastor. And by the way, it starts respecting the parents. You don't let these little old kids talk back and sass. And you youngins listen to me today in this room. Boy, you listen, one of these days you talk back to your dad and mama and you'll be sorry. And you talk back, listen to your Christian school principal or anybody. My friends, let me tell you something. You're going to get God in a whipping mood. Now let me tell you something, buddy. You better pay attention. Do you know something? I'm 54 years old and I've never talked back to my dad and mother in my life. Never, not one time. And I'm going to tell you something today. Listen, one of these days, both of them will be in the grave, but I won't have to walk by and say I'm sorry because I talked to them. Oh, let me tell you something. Listen to me today. Brother, in our churches today, we better have some unity and some harmony getting along, you see. Hey, it says in the book of Acts, it says they were in one accord. And that don't mean it's riding Hondas either. Amen. They was in one accord, Brother Smith. You know what that means? They's on the same page. They believe the same thing. They's going the same direction. They's behind their preacher and said, come on, preacher, if you go, listen, you're for soul winning. We're going with you. And if you're for missions, we'll get in it and we'll give. We'll do anything we need to do. Brother, we need to listen. But the devil tries to get in and sow some discord in a church. Let me, don't you ever be a part of nothing like that in your church, my friend. Now let me say, so Satan hinders us by discouraging the servants and dividing the saints. Then Satan hinders us by deluding the scriptures. Oh, let me tell you, I'm just an old mountain preacher. I don't know a bunch, but I know what this old book says about its inspiration. Now listen to me. 2 Timothy 3:16 says all scripture. I ain't too smart, but I know what all is. All means from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22 and the last amen. All scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I couldn't pastor a church and travel and go like I go, Brother Fugate, if I had a Bible that wasn't inspired. I believe with all my heart, I hold in my hands the eternal Word of God in this old 1611 King James. Now, I got to confess, there's some stuff. I don't understand everything. But I don't understand, bless God, how you can flip a light switch and lights comes on either. I don't understand a whole lot of things in the Bible, but I believe it. I believe it. Hey, listen, I'd be afraid if I said something against the book, God would kill me. This is what He called me to preach. This old book right here. Hey, listen, I got saved in 1969 and had never owned a Bible. And 3 days after I got saved at Wednesday night prayer meeting, the preacher's wife, I got saved in a little old American Baptist church, and my pastor's wife walked down and said, Darrell, do you have a Bible? I said, no, ma'am. She went back in the preacher's study and got a little old cardboard back, World Publishers, I believe it said on the bottom of it, King James Bible. And she tore the plastic off of it and said, from the First Baptist Church, Beaver, West Virginia, to Darrell Cox. Boy, let me tell you something. Listen, I got in on that old King James. I ain't never had nothing else. I don't want nothing else. Hey, I don't believe nothing else is the Word of God. It's all I believe. See, I believe every word of it. Old Jack Green, my preacher buddy, is up in his 80s. Old Dr. Jack Green, the brother of Oliver B. Green. Jack's a prince of a preacher, a great, great man of God. And old Dr. Green signed my Bible one day. And after he signed it, he put his life verse over top of his name. He didn't put his name under it like most people do. And I said, Brother Green, I said, why'd you put your name over, put the verse over top of your name? He said, Brother Darrell, he said, God put it above His name, and I'm going to put it above mine. He said, let me tell you something. Listen, God put the Word. He magnified the Word of God above His name. Brother Smith, if I found out that book wasn't the perfect, inspired Word of God, I'd walk out them doors, get on a plane, go back tonight and resign, and never preach another sermon. Never preach again. This is it right here. And listen, but the devil wants to pull verses out of it and change it and tell people this about it. You know something? I just believe it is. And I don't want to mess around with somebody telling me it's not. Oh, let me tell you something, friend. That sends chills up my spine. I won't even lay my coat on my Bible. I won't even lay my jacket in a car traveling. If I'm driving somewhere and I gotta lay my old Bible in the back seat, I'll make sure there's not a commentary or a sermon book or nothing. You say, why? Oh, listen, this is it. This is it right here. Oh, let me tell you something. The devil deludes the scriptures. You see, the devil's the author of confusion. I'm so glad old Frank Pittman, my pastor, and old Gene Garlow was my pastor when I first got saved, and then he believed the book, and then old Frank Pittman was my pastor. Boy, he'd stand up and shake that old book and preach it. Tears running down his face. He'd say, it's the Word of God. And listen, when God saved me and called me, let me tell you something, I believe it is too. From the top of my head through the bottom of my feet, Oh, I believe it. I couldn't believe it anymore. There's nothing any way I could believe it anymore than I believe this book's absolutely the Word of God. But the devil tried to steal your Bible. He'll do everything he can. He'll dilute it. See, all these other versions and stuff, we don't need all that mess. We don't need that. That's just a money-making deal. That's all it is, you see. That's somebody can make money. They copyright that stuff. There's money to be made in them Bible writing stuff. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you something. Listen, God wants this one out. He wants it preached. And he commanded me, preach the word. And the devil hates this book. Listen, he don't care about other books too much. You know, if I got a little old sermon book and I got two or three of them, he don't care if they go out of print. It don't make no difference. Ain't going to affect too many people in print or out. But I'll tell you this one right here is. And let me tell you, this one ain't going out of print. Hey, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Huh? Oh, never. Let me tell you, it's forever settled in heaven. Psalm 119, verse 89. Then let me say this right here. Then Satan hinders us by dampening our spirit. You know what he wants to do? He wants us to get dead. See? And he uses everything he can. You know, I thought about over there in the book of Nehemiah, after they got them walls built in the fifth, I believe it's the eighth chapter. In the eighth chapter, in verse number 5, it says, Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. That's a good reason to stand for. We read it, ain't it? They did. And it says, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, listen to this, amen and amen. With lifting up their hands, they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord and their faces to the ground. Now, I ain't about to read that seventh verse, all them names right there. Man, I can't hardly pronounce my name, much less all of them names. But you know what they did? In verse 8 says, so they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave sense. You know what sense means? Hey, they explained it. They preached. It was preaching. It's what they was doing. They gave sense. They read it and then they gave sense about it. They told what it meant. Do you know something? But the Bible says that when they just stood up and got going, hey, they shouting reading the text. Amen. They got shouting reading the text is what it says. In verse number 6, it says, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered and said, amen, amen, lifted up their hands. Hey, I mean, listen, he had them to stand up and tell you, you read this thing. They stood up for hours. You better thank God for these pews. Amen. Hey, they stood up for hours, and old Ezra preached and read the Word of God, and the people said, amen, amen. You know what amen means? It means so be it. I agree with that. And let me tell you, when Brother Smith's up here preaching, or any of these other men of God this week, or anybody he has in, or any of you folks that's hearing, your pastor is up preaching, man, get behind him. I mean, listen, it encourages. It's like saying sick him to a bulldog, amen? I mean, listen, get behind him if you agree with it. If you agree with it, and if he's in the book, brother, you need to agree with it. Amen? And get behind him. And what the devil's on the move to deaden our churches, make them dead. And you know something, brother, let me tell you something. I'm not a bit for what them charismatics are doing. I ain't for all them rock and roll bands and all that mess they do. I'm not for that. But I believe a lot of people, some of them might would have stayed in a Baptist church if some of that stuff hadn't been so dead. Brother, you ought to do everything you can. When you got a fire going, you better fan that thing. Amen? Throw a log on it every now and then. You say, what are you doing? I'm talking about saying amen and glory to God and praise the Lord. And that's right, preacher. That's what I'm talking about. People said, ain't you afraid somebody will speak in tongues? No, they ain't going to do that, not in our churches. They're not going to do that stuff. And if you do, you stop them. Amen. I seen a woman one Sunday in our church standing back over here, Brother Fugate, it's been a few years ago, and during the song service, she just shut her eyes and just stand with her hands up like that, and she's sort of mumbling something. You know, everybody was singing so you couldn't hear. And I leaned to the little sister beside me. I said, you go back there when the handshaking time, and you tell that sister to stick her head out the door and look and turn it to the left, and it says Trinity Baptist Church in here. We're not going to have nobody in here gobbling like a turkey, amen? I'm not going to have none of that junk going on. I ain't having that. Hey, I ain't putting up with that kind of mess in here. Hey, listen, I told them, listen, I don't care how loud you shout or how high you jump, long as you hit the ground walking straight, we understand what you're saying, amen? That's exactly right. But you see, the devil does everything he can, you see, to dampen our spirit. Hey, we had an old boy the other night come in the church service. He's from another church. I don't know where he's from. But, buddy, you talking about excited. Hey, he got excited. I'm talking about before church got started. He was shouting before it got started. It was just organ piano playing. He was sitting there going, amen. And you know what? Hey, I'll be honest with you. He was hollering amen so loud and so much. He was about saying more than I was trying to preach. But you know what? I'd rather have a man excited about the Word of God and about worshiping the Lord and about the things of God than I would some dead somebody sitting there looking at me like they don't know what's going on. Amen? Then let me say this right here. Satan hinders us by defiling us with sin. Oh, we better be careful about things. Young people, let me tell you something. It's a snare. You know, the devil just lays a snare for you. It'd be defiling you with sin. You know, I didn't grow up, of course, in the days of computers and all that stuff, all that internet stuff. And I'm glad I didn't. I don't have a computer. Somebody says, what's your email address? I don't know. I always tell them, I don't know what it is. I don't reckon I have one. I got a cell phone. And I'll tell you what, that thing's a burden. Amen. But it's a blessing sometimes, but boy, it can be a problem. But you know what? I'm trying to say all that stuff. They tell me all them pictures and dirty stuff that pops up on that old computer. Young people, I'll be honest with you. If I could stay away from it, I would. Boy, I'm going to tell you right now, all the things, listen, because the devil's doing everything he can to lure you in. Hey, let me tell you something. Don't you never let nobody tell you to just taste beer or whiskey to just see what it tastes like. I want to tell you something. Listen, when I was a little bitty boy, I was 5 years old, my mama, I watched my mama sit and cry on Friday nights. My daddy was a hard-working man. He cut mining timbers, and he'd come in, and we had an old aluminum tub that they'd pull out in the kitchen floor and fill it up with water and heat it on the stove, and daddy'd take a bath, and then after he got done work, he'd take a bath and eat supper, and he'd leave. Sometimes we wouldn't see him till Sunday night maybe, in time for him to come in and go get ready to go back to work. And I watched my mama sit and cry and said, Mama, why are you crying? I was just 5 years old. And she said, well, I'm crying because your dad's gone drinking. I wasn't but five. And I watched my mama cry. And I said, well, Mama, if it'll help you. I crawled up in her lap and I said, if this will help you, I want you to know I'll never touch it as long as I live. And I remember Brother Gomez patting me on the head and said, honey, I hope you never do. But you know what? I meant that thing. I said, you know what? I don't know nothing about drinking, but if it hurts my mama like that, it couldn't be good. And I never did, Brother Fugate, never put my lips to a beer can or a liquor bottle, never did. Oh, even before I got saved, never, not one time in my life. I'm not bragging on me. I'm just simply saying I have no regrets. I have no regrets. Oh, let me tell you, Brother Angel, thank you. Brother Gomez was preaching yesterday about not getting invited to them parties. I didn't get invited to that junk. You say, why? They said, well, he's just going to be a stick in the mud. He comes, he won't want to drink and dope and all that kind of stuff. You know something? I ain't had no sense, no how. I really ain't. Academically, I'm not very smart. Nor any other way. But you know something? Listen, I'd hate to see what in a mess I'd be in if I'd have gotten burned out what brains I got on dope and liquor. I'd be such a mess. But I'm so glad, listen. Oh, let me tell you. I'm so glad that the devil never got me. And he got enough of me to hurt me. But I'm telling you, I have no regrets. Oh, let me tell you something. I'm simply saying, young people, don't you ever get into sin. I mean, listen, you run like Joseph when Potiphar's wife got after him and she tried to get him messed up. And old Joseph took off running and she's standing there holding his coat. And she got his coat, but she didn't get his convictions. Oh, let me tell you something. Listen, we need a bunch of young people to sit out and say, we're going to live clean. And by the way, we need a bunch of adults going to live clean too. Live clean. Brother, Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Then it says holy. We don't hear too much about that holiness now. Oh, listen, we don't hear too much about trying to live right and have any kind of, a righteous life about us and live a holy life and a godly life. That old song, when I got saved, that old song we sing says, take time to be holy, speak oft with thy Lord. Oh, let me tell you something. We need to stay away from the sin and not let the devil lure you in. Young ladies, there'll be some old boy, if you're not careful, one day try to sweet talk you and mess your life up. Brother, let me tell you something. You better stay in your Bible and pray and stay in that youth group and stay close to your pastor and your youth director and mom and daddy and listen to God's man and don't never let the devil wreck and ruin your life. Oh, let me tell you, he'll do it. And let me Satan hinders us by defiling us with sin. And then let me say this right here. Satan hinders us by downplaying the second coming. downplaying the second coming. You know something, he's coming. I'm going to tell you something, he's coming. You say, hey, you know, he said he was. John 14:1, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house were many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, he said, cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, if I go, I will come again. Then over there in Thessalonians, he said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. He said, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hey, let me tell you something, he's coming. Hey, he ain't gonna send some scrawny angel bent on half rations. Brother, he's coming himself. He's coming to get his bride. And one of these days, thank God, he'll come in the clouds, and the trumpet will sound, and we'll go to be with him. Oh, let me tell you now, the Bible said in 2 Peter, though, it says in the last days there'll be scoffers mocking and saying, where's the promise of his coming? I'll tell you where the promise is at. It's in the book. The promise is still in the book. Hey, it's just promised right where it's always been. I'm just waiting, friend. I'm just waiting. I'm ready to pull out for a land that's fair today right now. Amen. Hey, it wouldn't bother me one bit if he comes before I get done preaching it. Hey, I'd like to go out of preaching. Wouldn't you like, Brother Fugate? I'd like to pull out of here, brother. And let me tell you something, listen, then you watch that bunch, bless God, in Washington, and you watch all them people that's making fun of us. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, friend, this old country's in a fix, but you wait till God pulls all these Christians out of here. You wait till he comes and gets us, but hey, it'll all be over for us, won't it? Oh, let me tell you something, old Satan tries to get people, messed up about the second coming. Now, brother, I ain't lost my hope about it. I'm still looking for him to come today, but he'll try. And tell people all this tribulation. Listen, all that kind of stuff, going through the tribulation, all that stuff. Listen, I ain't going through no tribulation. Amen. Now, listen, I'm no scholar, but I got enough sense to figure that out. And you read the book and find out we're not going through no tribulation. Brother, we're pulling out for a land that's fairer than day. Amen. And then let me say this right here. Satan hinders us by detouring the soul winner. Detouring the soul winner. Oh, let me tell you something. The devil, the whole thing is this. Is he wants to stop us evangelizing, winning sinners to Christ. That's the whole thing right there. See, if he can get us doing any of these other things, I pray, then he's got us sidetracked from the main thing. Listen, the main thing's found in Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Soul winning is the main job of every Christian. Psalm 126:5-6, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You know something? If you think the Great Commission, why you think God called it the Great Commission? He didn't just say the commission, he called it the Great Commission. And you know why it's great? Listen, first it's great because of the price. But let me tell you something. Do you know that he put it in Matthew 28:19-20, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Then he goes over to Mark 16:15, said the same thing. Then he goes over to Luke 14:23 and said, go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. And then he goes over to John 20:21 and said, even as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. That's all four Gospels. And then in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and even to the uttermost part of the earth. You see, if the devil can get you off the soul winning trail, your church will automatically die. Friends, you get off the soul winning trail, let me tell you something. Rigor mortis has set in your congregation. I mean, listen, death. You can smell death if you ever get away from that soul winning. Oh, let me tell you something. Listen, we try to make it a big deal in everything at our place. Christian school, every Wednesday, Brother Fugate, Wednesday afternoon at 3 o'clock when school gets out, the juniors ages 9 through 12 loads on a bus, and then the 13 through 19 years old gets on another bus with staff members and adults, and they go out and knock on doors and hand out tracts. And they get in there about 6:30, quarter to 7, roll back in there in time for church. They'll go out 3 or 4 hours and go out and knock on doors. You know what? Well, listen, and I love sports, but you know something? Listen, I love it. But I'd much rather have a boy to turn out to be a good soul winner, wouldn't you, than I would just to be a ball player. And I love football. I think ball's good for kids, but if you're not careful, you'll make that the main thing, see? You let them know the main thing there at our school. We don't even give out many sport awards. We give out the Curtis Hudson Soul Winning Award and the Carl Hatch Award. And we give out the Jack Hiles Award. We give out all them soul winning awards. See, because we're trying to say the emphasis on, but the devil, boy, he likes to stop all that. Oh, listen, he'd do everything he can to stop us. Satan hindered us. And let me tell you something. If you think he's let up, that's what he wants you to think. He ain't let up, friend. Let me tell you, he's working. You know Revelation 12:12, and I'm done. Revelation 12:12 says, he knoweth he hath but a short time. Listen, hey, the devil's, he's a smooth operator, man. He's a slick operator. And let me tell you something, he knows what's coming. But you see, we got a book telling us what's coming, and we act like we don't know, but he knows. And brother, we better listen. If we believe this, we better get the bus wheels turning. You better put the buses on the road. You better put the soul winners on the streets. We better get after this thing if we believe this is real. If we believe it's real. You see, but now Satan's going to try to hinder you, but you just got to overcome it and keep coming. Listen, you just got to keep on going. Amen? Satan hinders us. Hey, there might be somebody here today who said, boy, he's been hindering me. Man, he's been giving me a hard way to go. Listen, the only thing you can do is stay in that book, keep praying, and keep going. There's no quitting place. If he ever gets you down, he's got you. He'll go for the juggler. As long as you stay on your feet and keep moving forward for Christ, you're okay. Brother, let me tell you, Satan hindered us. Hey, if the Apostle Paul said he hindered him, don't you think he's after you? He's after this church. He's after my church, after all of it. I hope this has been a blessing to you. I hope it's been a help. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, I pray when this meeting comes next year, if you tarry, you're coming. Lord, it's my prayer that every person that's seated here this morning will be back next year and still in love with Jesus, still in their Bible, still praying, and still soul winning, and still doing what's right. And God, I realize there's people here today discouraged. There's people here today that the devil's just working them over every which way. But, oh God, today, help us to know greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. May we yield ourselves to Christ today and beg and plead for the filling of the Holy Ghost of God. And may you, Lord, help us to love you and serve you and keep looking up till Jesus comes. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity today to be here. And I pray, Lord, you'd bless these other preachers today and tonight and tomorrow. And bless Brother Smith's church. God, keep your hand on this good place. And Lord, bless their vision to keep on keeping on in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.